CD 12. Awakening Media presents The Life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, The Medinan Period, Volume 1, by Imam Anwar Al-Awlaki.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We all know Uhud to be a defeat. But the amazing thing is that Ibn al-Qayyim thinks otherwise. Ibn al-Qayyim says that it is a victory for the Muslims. The reason why it's a victory for the Muslims is because it's a gold mine of lessons. It's a treasure trove, ibar, historical lessons that could be learned from this amazing event. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll devote this entire session to lessons from the Battle of Uhud. Number one, and by the way, these lessons we're going to be deriving mostly from Qur'an, from Surah Al-Imran. And again, to refresh your memories, Surah Al-Anfal was revealed after the Battle of Badr, and Surah Al-Imran was revealed after the Battle of Uhud. This amazing. So these two surah are dealing with these two great battles. Number one, study history. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنٌ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
Similar conditions as yours have passed on before. So proceed throughout the earth and observe, how was the end of those who denied? Go and travel and see what happened to the nations before. Learn history. Study the lessons. Look at the conflict between good and evil and the outcome of it. This Qur'an is a clear statement to all the people and a guidance and instruction for those conscious of Allah. Now, we cannot benefit from history if we don't believe in the authenticity of the rule of cause and effect. We have to believe that causes do lead to certain results. If that wasn't the case, then there's no benefit in studying history. Because when we study history, what we're looking at are the causes that led to certain results. So the cause-effect rule has to be correct. So we believe if you do this, the outcome would be that. This is how we benefit from history. So we look at the believers of the early nations and we try to emulate them, and we look at the disbelievers of the former nations and we try to avoid their practices. That is how we can benefit from history, because this is not storytelling. Allah is not telling us to study history to entertain ourselves. Allah is telling us to study history to learn the lessons. قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عَبْرَةٌ. You have lessons to learn from their stories. So this is the first thing, is to study history. And that's what we're doing here. We're talking about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the greatest part of history. We're studying the life of the final prophet, the one whose message will carry on until the day of judgment. No other prophet had the blessing of being the Nabi to all mankind and to have his message carry on until the day of judgment except Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
We have sent you as mercy to all mankind. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ عَامَّةً. Every prophet before me was sent to his specific nation, while I am sent to all mankind. The second lesson, Allah عز وجل says,
وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
So do not weaken and do not grieve, and you are superior if you are true believers. When was this revealed? Let's look at the context. This was revealed after the defeat of Uhud, when the spirits were low. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling them, do not weaken and do not grieve when you are superior. You are superior even though you're lost. So the Muslims should never forget this. You are superior to every other nation, no matter what. Even if the ummah is defeated, even if the ummah is weak, even if it is oppressed, this ummah is still the best ummah. And the ayah that says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرَجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ is an ayah in Surah Al-Imran, which was revealed after the defeat of Uhud. You were the best nation brought forth to mankind. This ayah didn't come after Badr. It didn't come after Fatih Mecca. It didn't come when the Islamic Empire was covering 2/3 of earth. This was revealed after the worst defeat that the Muslims suffered in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's the Battle of Uhud. So Allah is telling them, remember who you are. Keep that in mind. The third lesson, and actually we have here seven lessons bundled together in verses 140 to 143. So we'll go over them all by reciting the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ.
If a wound should touch you, there has already touched the opposing people a wound similar to it. And these days of varying conditions, we alternate among the people, so that Allah may make evident those who believe and may take to himself from among you shuhada, and Allah does not like the wrongdoers, and that Allah may purify the believers through trials, and destroy the disbelievers. Or do you think that you would enter paradise while Allah has not yet made evident those of you who fight in his cause, and made evident those who are steadfast? And you had certainly wished for death before you encountered it, and you have now seen it before you while you are looking on. So there are seven lessons in these four verses. Number one, if a wound should touch you, there has already touched the opposing people a wound similar to it. What does this indicate? What is Allah telling us? Again, if a wound should touch you, there has already touched the opposing people a wound similar to it. Because Muslims now have lost the Battle of Uhud, and again the spirits were low, and this is a defeated army, and we know how weak the morale is with a defeated army. Things are bleak and depressed. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling them that what happened to you has happened to the people of Quraysh in the Battle of Badr. If you are suffering wounds now, they suffered wounds a year ago. If you are suffering defeat now, they suffered the same defeat a year ago. Now, if that did not prevent them from carrying on the fight and coming to meet you in Uhud, these wounds should not stop you from carrying on the fight. So the Mufassirin say that what is meant here is that what happened to you is happening to them, and since you are expecting from Allah what they don't expect, and that is Jannah and the reward from Him, you should carry on the fight and you should never give up and you should never lay down your arms. You should hit the ground running. Whatever happened to you should not let you give up and should not defeat your souls. The spirits must remain high. إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. So be patient. You're wounded, be patient. Some of you were killed, be patient. You lost, be patient. Have perseverance. Be steadfast. Number two. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And these days of varying conditions we alternate among the people. One day you win, the next day you lose. That's how it is in this life. It's the yin and the yang of history. It's not all on one condition. You're not going to always win, and also you're not going to always lose. Now let's look at what Ibn al-Qayyim said about this. He said, أَنَّ حِكْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتَهُ فِي رُسُلِهِ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ جَرَتْ أَنْ يُدَالُوا مَرَّةً وَيُدَالُوا عَلَيْهِمْ أُخْرَى لَكِنْ تَكُونُ لَهُمُ الْعَاقِبَةِ. He said, it was the wisdom of Allah and His way with His prophets and their followers that they would once win and once lose, but in the end they are the victorious. So the end result is that Islam will win. However, until we reach to that stage, it's going to be a win and lose situation. You win once and you lose the next. And then he said, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَوْ انتصروا دَائِمًا دَخَلَ مَعَهُمْ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَغَيْرَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَتَمَيَّزْ الصَّادِقْ مِنْ غَيْرَهُ. He said, if the believers always win, then others would join them. And then it wouldn't be clear who are the believers and who are not. So to distinguish the believers from the non-believers, there must be this alternating conditions of winning and losing. Because if the Muslims are winning all the time, then everybody is going to recognize that this is the winning party and everybody is going to join. And some of them would only join for worldly reasons, not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the hikmah behind winning and losing. And then he says, وَلَوْ انتصرَ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِمًا لَمْ يَحْصُلُ الْمَقْصُودُ مِنَ الْبِعْثَ وَالرِّسَالَةِ. And if the Muslims are always losing, then the objective of sending the prophets would not be fulfilled. And that is for this religion to spread and to win converts and to rule the earth. So it is not appropriate for the believers to always win, and it's not also appropriate for them to always lose. It's a mixture of both. And this is for the conditions of the test to be appropriate. So the losing phases separate the true believers from the munafiqeen, and the winning phases are the ones that spread the religion. So you have both objectives fulfilled. The third lesson, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, so that Allah may make evident those who believe. And as we mentioned before, the true test of iman is jihad fi sabilillah. That is the true test of men. That is where the truth comes out. And that is where the fakeness shows. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that what happened to you in Uhud is to separate the believers from the munafiqeen. The fourth lesson, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ, and that Allah may take to Himself from among you shuhada. Ibn Qayyim says, إِنَّ الشَّهَادَةَ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ أَعْلَى مَرَاتِبِ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ هُمْ خَوَاصُهُ وَالْمُقَرَّبُونَ إِلَيْهِ. Shahada, martyrdom, is among the highest levels, or is the highest status in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It comes right after the Anbiya and the Siddiqeen. And he said, وَالشُّهَدَاءُ هُمْ خَوَاصُهُ وَالْمُقَرَّبُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And the martyrs are the ones whom Allah draws closer to Him. These are the ones whom Allah Azza wa Jalla loves and brings close to Him. وَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى نَيْلِ هَذِهِ الدَّرَجَةِ إِلَّا بِتَقْدِيرِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُفْضِيَةِ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ تَسْلِيطِ الْعَدُوِ. And how can there be shuhada if Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't allow the enemy to kill some of the Muslims? So if shahada is such a high status, how are some people going to achieve it? The only way for them to achieve it is through the hands of the enemy. And this is one of the wisdoms of the Battle of Uhud. Allah Azza wa Jal took to Himself 70 shuhada. Number 5. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and that Allah may purify the believers through trials and destroy the disbelievers. So, number 1, وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, so that Allah may purify the believers. Ibn Qayyim has some interesting words. He said, Allah Azza wa Jal loves some of His servants so much, He reserves for them high places in Jannah. So you have this high place, high level in Jannah, reserved for this certain servant of Allah, because Allah loves him. However, the deeds of this servant are not sufficient enough to take him up to that level. So how could he achieve it? It is by Allah making him go through trials in dunya, suffering, hardship, pain. And that is how he can climb up to his high reserved status in paradise. So Allah Azza wa Jalla loved some of the Sahaba so much, but because their deeds are not sufficient to take them up to that level reserved for them in Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jalla made them go through the battle of Uhud and suffer the pain and hardship and injury and defeat, and suffer the sad feelings of hearing the false news that Rasulullah ﷺ was killed. All of this was gham, all of this was distress that the Muslims had to go through. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. It's a purification process. It's a selection process. These are the trials. And the next, and I'm combining these in one, even though they could be separated as two different lessons. وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And destroy the disbelievers. And Allah Azza wa Jalla dislikes some of the kuffar so much that they have places for them reserved in hellfire, and Allah Azza wa Jalla destroys them through their actions in dunya. So the fact that the kuffar defeated the Muslims and killed 70 of them, and the Muslims had to suffer all of this hardship under the hands of the kuffar, this is destruction for the kuffar. It's not something for them to be happy about. For Ibn Qamiyah to strike Rasulullah ﷺ and Utbah ibn Abi Waqqas to strike Rasulullah ﷺ, is that good news for them? Is that something to be happy about? That is the worst thing that ever happened to them in their lives. And they would be condemned to hellfire for eternity for it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla dislikes some of the kuffar, and they deserve his damnation and eternal punishment because of the actions that they commit in dunya. So when we see that a certain nation of kuffar, it appears that it has free reign to do whatever it wants with the Muslims, to kill some of them in whichever country it wants, and to round them up, interrogate them, torture them, throw them in prisons for years at end without any due course of law. Is that good news for them? That's a sign that Allah Azza wa Jalla is angry with this nation or people. That's a sign that Allah Azza wa Jalla has His wrath on them. That's a sign of what will happen to them on the Day of Judgment. So Allah Azza wa Jalla gives these tyrants chance in dunya so that they could achieve rightfully and claim their places in hellfire. One should not think this is a sign that Muslims are weak or that this religion will defeat it. No. This is an indication, and we could, for example, bring up the example of Fir'aun, how he succeeded in punishing the children of Israel for years. Is that something for Fir'aun to be happy about? No. That was because Allah Azza wa Jalla was building a case against him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla was gathering evidence against him to be presented on the Day of Judgment. And that's exactly what's happening with the enemies of Allah today. Allah is building a case against them. Don't think that they will escape justice. Allah Azza wa Jalla sees and hears everything. And on the Day of Judgment, all of what they have done will be presented to them in the court of justice of the Day of Judgment. That's why it's called Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. Yawm al-Hisab. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla will judge upon them. And all of this evidence will be presented to them. Nothing will be hidden. لا تخفى عليه خافية. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the All-Knowing. So this is a hikmah that you shouldn't neglect or overlook. Allah Azza wa Jalla is building a case against the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because Allah knows the evil of their heart, Allah Azza wa Jalla makes it manifest through their actions. So that they wouldn't come on the Day of Judgment and say, "Oh Allah, how come you're casting us into hellfire when we haven't done any evil?" So even though Allah Azza wa Jalla already knows what is in their hearts, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives them a chance to play it out in the real world so that they wouldn't have any excuse on the Day of Judgment. The sixth lesson, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. For those Muslims who thought that Islam is a free ride, that Islam is convenient, that Islam will give you paradise without demanding too much from you, all what you have to do is give a few rak'at here and there for Allah Azza wa Jalla during the day and make a few adhkar and that's it, you're granted paradise. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling such people, or do you think that you will enter paradise while Allah has not made evident those of you who fight jihad in His cause and made evident those who are steadfast? Don't think that you can make it to Jannah without jihad fi sabilillah. وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah is telling the Muslims, you're going to have to go through these stages. You have to go through it. Because you cannot claim your place in Jannah without going through the test of jihad fi sabilillah, and consequently, it will show your steadfastness. Because that's where sabr is shown. So, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this is the Islamic way. This is the Islamic way. This is not a mystic religion where you could do a few adhkar here and there and then think that you have done your part. No, Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to test you in the field. Allah Azza wa Jalla has some serious demands from you because Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving you Jannah. I mean, you're not going to get it for free. You have to earn it. You have to work for it. When I say earn it, it's not literal, because no matter what we do, Jannah is more than our deeds. Even Rasulullah ﷺ said that, I will only get into Jannah by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to do our best, wants us to do the utmost effort that we are capable of humanly in this dunya. The seventh lesson, after the Battle of Badr and the outstanding victory of Muslims, the ones who missed it, they were looking forward to meeting the enemy again, and they were asking for shahada, and they were asking for meeting death. But that was all desires in the heart. How it's going to play out in the real world is something else. So you could have the intention, but is that intention real? So Allah Azza wa Jalla said,
وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ.
And you had certainly wished for death, i.e. martyrdom, before you encountered it, and you have now seen it before you while you were looking on. So, in other words, actual fighting was necessary to verify whether their wishes were true or not, whether their intentions were true or not. And subhanAllah, maybe even they didn't know about it. I mean, every one of us could have intentions in their hearts, but does that mean that if we are faced with an opportunity to fulfill those intentions, we would really fulfill them? That is something that only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla made them face these situations to make evident what was in their hearts. So Allah is telling them, you wanted to face martyrdom? Here you go. Here's your chance. Go ahead. Show me. So these are seven lessons we can learn from verses 140 to 143 of Surah Al-Imran. Next, treating mistakes. How did Allah Azza wa Jal deal with the mistakes of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? First, let me say this. Allah Azza wa Jal has never, ever praised the Muslims for their victories. Never. So after the Battle of Badr, ayat of Quran are not coming down thanking the Muslims and praising them for their effort in Badr. No. It was in fact the contrary. To the contrary. Allah Azza wa Jalla said,
وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ.
Victory is from Allah. So I'm not giving you credit for that victory in Badr. And in the Battle of Badr, if you recall, we talked about the dispute over the booty of war. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed then, not the booty of war, it was about the prisoners of war. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed,
لولا كتاب من الله سبق لمسكم فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم.
If not for a decree from Allah that preceded, you would have been touched for what you took by a great punishment. So after the Battle of Badr, Allah told them that I was going to punish you. So to the contrary, one would think that Allah would assume that since they have won the ayat would come praising them. No, Allah Azza wa Jalla was threatening them with punishment because of what they have done with the prisoners of war. And Allah said that because you are interested in dunya, because you wanted the ransom, you did not execute the prisoners when that is the course of action that you have taken. So it was because of your love of dunya, you have chosen to ransom the prisoners of war. And Allah said that I was going to punish you. If it wasn't in my book that ransom is halal for you, you would have been punished. While in the battle of Uhud, let's compare the ayat of Badr with the ayat of Uhud. Here in Badr, I was going to punish you. And what about in Uhud? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And He has already forgiven you. And Allah is the possessor of bounty for the believers. So after the battle of Uhud, when they were at fault and they lost, Allah said, and I have forgiven you. While after the battle of Badr, Allah said, I was going to punish you. This tells us something. Allah Azza wa Jal is curing our hearts from any diseases that might linger in it. After the battle of Badr, to save the Muslims from feelings of pride or arrogance, Allah Azza wa Jal has said that I was going to punish you for what you have done. And Allah Azza wa Jal said that victory that you have achieved is actually from me. While after the battle of Uhud, because they have already suffered in dunya, Allah Azza wa Jal is raising up their spirits again and comforting them by telling them that I have forgiven you. You have committed a mistake on that hill by coming down. And you have committed a sin by disobeying the Prophet. And you have committed a sin by being thirsty and hungry for dunya. But in the end, I have forgiven you. Next lesson, Allah Azza wa Jal is turning our attention to the previous mujahideen. Allah Azza wa Jal says in verses 146 to 148,
وَكَأَيِّن مِّن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
And how many a prophet fought and with him fought many religious scholars. But they never lost assurance due to what afflicted them in the cause of Allah. Nor did they weaken or submit. And Allah loves the steadfast. And their words were not but that they said, O our Lord, forgive us our sins and the excess committed in our affairs, and plant firmly our feet and give us victory over the disbelieving people. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and the good reward of the hereafter, and Allah loves the doers of good. What can we learn from these ayat? Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that the prophets before you fought, and alongside them fought religious scholars. So the scholars should not sit at home, they should stand with their prophets and fight. You know, because scholars tend to develop a tradition, and this is with scholars among every religion. After a while, because of all the respect that they get from the people, they kind of develop this special status, so they wear special clothes, and they act in a special way, and it could be superficial, it could be ceremonial, and they would stay away from, you know, the dirt and that the soldiers have to suffer, you know, walking in the dirt and sleeping in bunker beds, or maybe not even sleeping in beds at all, and suffering the pain, and, you know, being equal to everybody else, and going through that hard life. Probably shaitan can come to the scholar and say, you know, you don't have to go through all of that. You have ilm, you have knowledge, just stay at home and teach the people, that would be enough. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here that that's not the way of the righteous scholars. The righteous scholars stood with their prophets, they were in the field. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, but they never lost assurance due to what afflicted them. So when they lost, when they were faced with hardship, they never lost assurance. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, don't be affected by the setback. Don't let it pull you down. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, it didn't weaken them and they didn't submit. And Allah loves the steadfast. You have to carry on. Persist. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they said, our Lord, forgive us our sins and the excess committed in our affairs. This is very important, that when you're fighting for the sake of Allah, you don't depend on your numbers or your preparation, but you depend on Allah. And you seek forgiveness from Him. And you admit your sins. And you humble yourself in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. You humiliate yourself under Allah Azza wa Jal. That is something that Allah Azza wa Jal loves to see from His servants. And that is what these mujahideen before Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. See, Allah Azza wa Jal is bringing the story of these early fighters for the Muslims to learn. So Allah is saying this was their way. And then they would say, and plant firmly our feet and give us victory, after they admit their sins and ask Allah for forgiveness. And that is when Allah Azza wa Jal has given them reward of this life and the reward of the afterlife. And Allah loves the doers of good. And since Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the Muslims to turn their attention to the fighters of the former nations, now we have the former nations and also the fighters of this ummah. We have twice the lessons that the Sahaba had. Because now we have their example with us. The next lesson, the evil of disobedience, the consequences of disobedience. Disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very dangerous. That is why they lost in the Battle of Uhud, because of disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا.
O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. So after the Messenger of Allah, we obey the Amir. And if you disagree over anything, refer to Allah and the Messenger. If you should believe in Allah and the Last Day, that is the best way and the best result. If we have a dispute on any affair, we take it back to Quran and Sunnah. That is our reference. The next lesson, the danger of preferring dunya over akhirah. You know, the story of this ummah with booty of war is a sad one. It started in the Battle of Badr, and that's when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayat of Al-Anfal. And Ubadah ibn Samit said these ayat were revealed because we, the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, disputed over the booty, and our manners were not appropriate. وَسَاءَتْ فِيهِ أَخْلَاقُنَا. And in the Battle of Uhud, that was what brought down the archers. It was because of they were eager to participate in collecting the booty. And subhanAllah, this problem carried on. And yes, there were Muslims who learned the lessons, but there were others who didn't. What stopped the Muslim conquest in Western Europe was booty. The Muslims, when they entered into Spain, Abdurrahman al-Ghafiqi was the Amir of the Muslims, and he was leading them into France now. And they succeeded in conquering almost two-thirds of France. And they were 100 kilometers away from Paris, the capital. And they were almost going to run over France. But by the time they reached to the outskirts of Paris, they were loaded with booties, loaded with spoils of war. So now the soldier is fighting the enemy in front of him, but his mind is behind him. He's thinking about his share of the booties of war, all of this stuff that we're carrying with us. And it was pulling down the army. So they ended up losing in the battle called Balat al-Shuhada, the court of martyrs. And it was given this name because of the huge number of Muslims who were killed in that battle. Among them, one of the greatest leaders of the Muslim armies, Abdurrahman al-Ghafiqi, rahimahullah. He was killed in that battle, and that marked the end of the Muslim advance in Western Europe. They never reached there again. From there on, it was retreat, retreat, retreat. Even though it was a bit slow, it took about 800 years, but it was slowly but surely. So the turning point was due to booty. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I did not know that there was among us, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people who preferred dunya over akhirah. You know, this is not talking about the munafiqeen. It's talking about some of the mu'mineen. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, among you are some who desire this world, and among you are some who desire the hereafter. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that in the hearts of some of you, there's the desire of dunya. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I never knew that that existed among some of the Sahaba until then. And this again shows you how jihad fi sabilillah brought out something that possibly could have never showed up to the surface. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I didn't know that it existed. Next lesson, we should hold on fast to our religion. When the rumor spread that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was killed, some of the Muslims were trying to find a way to meet with Abdullah ibn Ubay to have him intercede with the kuffar of Quraysh to give them truce. Allah Azza wa Jal taught us a lesson. Allah Azza wa Jal said,
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ
Muhammad is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. Muhammad ﷺ is a messenger, and there are other messengers before him, and where are they now? They're dead. So the same thing, death, should be expected to happen to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If all of the other prophets are dead, why do you think or assume that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't die as they did? And then Allah said, so if he was to die or to be killed, would you then turn back on your heels to unbelief? Is that how you're going to react to his death? Just because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, you're going to give up your religion? And he who turns back on his heels will never harm Allah at all. You are the ones who need Allah. Allah doesn't need you. But Allah will reward the grateful. This is Al-Imran 144. Therefore, Allah is telling us that this religion does not depend on personalities. The faith of this religion is not hinged to any person, even if that person is the great and noble person of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if that's the case with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should never think or believe if such and such person is killed, that this religion, the advance of this religion will stop. We should never assume that the victory is dependent on a particular leader. And that's why Umar ibn Khattab fired Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu from his post of the general of the Muslim armies. He wanted people to know that victory is not because of Khalid ibn Walid, victory is because of Allah. It is Allah who brought us victory, it's not Khalid ibn Walid. So Muslims who are waiting now for a particular leader or are depending on a particular leader, you should depend on Allah. Allah did not allow the Muslims to depend on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah told them, if Muhammad dies, you need to carry on being Muslims, carry on spreading the message as if nothing changed. You should not retreat and fall back on your heels. Because this religion is dependent on no one. And that's why when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu came to Medina after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say to the people? مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ Whoever worships Muhammad, Muhammad is dead. But whoever worships Allah, Allah is alive and never dies. How did the Prophet deal with the archers and the hypocrites? The archers disobeyed him, and the hypocrites also disobeyed him. So how did he deal with them? He dealt with them differently. Let's look at how he dealt with the archers. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ
So by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So Allah is saying to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your method of da'wah has been based on being lenient, being soft, not being harsh in word or speech, not being rude in speech or harsh in heart. That is how you were able to bring these hearts together. So how do you deal with the archers? Allah said, so pardon them and ask forgiveness for them. Subhanallah. We lost because of them. Rasulullah ﷺ was injured because of them. 70 Muslims were killed because of them. And then you pardon them? And not only pardon them, but Allah wants you to ask forgiveness for them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ You, Muhammad ﷺ, who suffered because of their mistake, you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive them. And subhanallah, we talked about the shura. And we said that some of the Muslims, the youth especially, and the ones who missed the Battle of Badr, were asking Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to go out and fight outside Medina. And we said that this wasn't the opinion of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The opinion of Rasulullah that we stay in Medina and fight from within. And that was the better opinion. It was the opinion of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that is also probably one of the reasons why they lost. Nevertheless, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and consult them in the matter. Even if consultation has led to your defeat, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, don't let that prevent you from making shura again. So we carry on with shura even if the result of the shura was wrong. You still carry on with shura. Shura is the right way to go. Look at the lessons. This ghazwa is loaded with lessons. Shura. Carry on with shura. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. So after you make shura and you decide, you go ahead. You don't waver, you don't change, you don't oscillate. Allah loves those who rely upon Him. Have tawakkul on Allah. So how did He deal with the archers? Number one, pardon them. Number two, ask forgiveness for them. Number three, consult them. Consult the Muslims. Even if they have given you a wrong opinion, carry on consulting them. So if this was the instruction of Allah to the Prophet of Allah who is receiving wahi from Allah, who is infallible, what about the poor, humble men like us? How important does that make shura for us? That's how he dealt with the archers. How did they deal with the munafiqun? Allah says, Surah Al-Imran 166-167,
وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوِ ادْفَعُوا قالوا لو نعلم قتالا لاتبعناكم هم للكفر يومئذ أقرب منهم للإيمان يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم والله أعلم بما يكتمون
And what struck you on the day the two armies met at Uhud was by the permission of Allah, that He might make evident the true believers, and that He might make evident those who are hypocrites. For it was said to them, come fight in the way of Allah, or at least defend. They said, if we had known there would be fighting, we would have followed you. They were nearer to disbelief that day than to faith, saying with their mouths what was not in their hearts, and Allah is the most knowing of what they conceal. That was it. It was exposing them. But they were not punished. That was it. They were just exposed. So, I want to bring up an important lesson here. There are some Muslims, in fact, there are entire movements that are based upon this false hypothesis. There are some Muslims who say that for the Ummah to succeed and be victorious, we have to invite them all to truth, and they all have to obey Allah and avoid sins. And as long as there are Muslims who don't pray, Muslims who are committing sins, we're not going to win. And we're not going to win until the Muslims who pray Fajr are equal in number to the Muslims who pray Jum'ah. And then they bring you this saying of that rabbi who went and visited the Holy Mosque of Jerusalem and said that Jerusalem will fall in Muslim hands when the people who pray in Fajr are equal to the people who pray in Jum'ah. And we start listening to all of this stuff, and the rabbi said this, and this rabbi said that. As if it's the rabbis who are receiving the wahi of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's not a correct hypothesis. There will always be more Muslims who pray Jum'ah than Muslims who pray Fajr. And there will always be Muslims who commit sins. There will always be Muslims who commit major sins. There will always be Muslims who are not fulfilling the obligations. This will always be the case. And if you are waiting for victory to come when all Muslims are righteous and all Muslims are awliya of Allah, that will never happen. And to prove to you that this hypothesis is wrong is the fact that 1/3 of the Muslim army defected. Those were the munafiqun, and this did not affect the outcome of the Battle of Uhud. The munafiqun who left with Abdullah ibn Ubay were not the reason for the Muslim defeat. This wasn't mentioned as a reason in Sunnah, and it's not mentioned as a reason in Quran. Therefore, it's not one of the reasons. It's not the reason, it's not even one of the reasons why the Muslims lost. The joining of the munafiqeen or their defection wouldn't have made a difference. And since there will always be munafiqun living among the Muslim ummah, they will not affect the outcome of the battle between good and evil. The outcome is affected by the core group of Muslims, the Ta'if al-Mansurah. Rasulullah ﷺ has talked about a core group of Muslims called the Ta'if al-Mansurah. This is the saved group. It is these who have to be on the straight path. If they start sinning, then the Muslims will lose. So the outcome depends on them. It doesn't depend on all of the ummah. See, the ummah contains within its ranks the righteous and the sinners. It contains the believers and the munafiqeen. And it's always going to be like that until the day of judgment. But the ones whom we should make sure that they are united, they are one, and they are not disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, are the Ta'if al-Mansurah, this core group of Muslims. They are the ones who need to be united. Because their disobeying of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on that hill was what brought defeat to the Muslims. It was the action of those 40 men on the mountain that brought defeat to the Muslims. It wasn't the 300 who left with Abdullah ibn Ubay. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla said,
وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا